Well, hello there. Welcome to another service here, another sermon from our church. And we're just continuing on with these services online. I think it's just a great blessing. Our hope would be that you are doing this in community, that at the very least that you're able to watch these services and discuss them with people, and even if it's over the phone and stuff, but hopefully even some of you can be in groups and just enjoying as we continue to work through the book of Colossians, and as we are continuing through summer and thinking ahead to the fall. But let's just be present today and just take this a day at a time. I think that would be helpful. I should say happy Father's Day if you're watching this on Father's Day. If not, just happy day to whatever day it is that you're watching. Last sermon I preached was on Mother's Day, and now I get to do Father's Day. So that's something, I guess. we're going to continue on before I get too crazy here. We're going to continue on in our study in Colossians. This has been great, and Pastor Doug 2 weeks ago had his sermon, and he got to preach on all this difficult and important stuff, and thankfully, he's given me a passage that we're going to talk a lot about some happy stuff, some spiritual formation, and some pretty cool stuff of, Pastor Doug went through the things that need to die in our lives, and today we get to talk about what we're putting on, what needs to be alive and well. But I do want to encourage you, if you haven't watched Doug's sermon from a couple weeks ago, I'd probably encourage you to actually stop watching this one, go back to that one. In fact, it's actually really helpful for us if you're going through, I think, each sermon at a time, because we are walking through the whole book of Colossians, and Doug has encouraged many times, you're going to want to sit down and even just read through the whole letter. I mean, it doesn't take all that long, but there's something really rich about actually sitting down and not just reading a verse or even a passage at a time when we're reading the scriptures, but actually taking a good chunk of time and going through it. I did it once at Briarcrest, going through actually all four Gospels. Just took an entire day. It was part of one of my projects, and it was really interesting, the difference. So anyway, go through the series with us, and if you've missed some, that's totally fine. Just, you have the ability now to actually go back. It's on the podcast if you want to listen, but you can go back to these services and watch them through to catch up. I think that would be helpful. But perhaps you're just landing here, and that's fine too. And we want to just continue through this study. So today we're looking at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 to 17. But before we dive in, I'm just going to pray. And so, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for these verses that we're about to look through and study. And Lord, I just pray as I speak that you would be present, that you'd be speaking through me, that this would be helpful and fruitful for us. I just pray for everyone as we are struggling through different things right now, Lord, that you'd be with us, and that we would just hear from you as we study this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you have Bibles, and again, I might say this too often, you're going to want, just as you should be when we were attending church together in person in the building, you're going to want a Bible, and probably helpful to have pen, paper, even a highlighter. I think it's really helpful when things are encouraging to us or an idea comes, you can jot it down. Especially as you're meeting in groups, that could be really, really fruitful as well. So we're in Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 12 to 17. And I'm reading from ESV. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. So today I want us to talk about how to live a full life. And I know that I've talked about this a lot, but it's just really exciting. And that's basically it. It's a 1-point sermon. So that's also probably exciting for you. And I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you my, you know, the whole bread and butter of the sermon right off the hop. I would contend if you were to seriously put into practice these 6 verses that I just read from Colossians, your life would transform radically. You'd be marked by meaning and purpose and joy. And if you take that spiritual formation that's found in these verses, if you were to take them seriously, you would find a life that would probably be more vibrant and joy-filled, because that is exactly what happens when we choose to draw closer to God and know him more. So there you go. I just preached the sermon in 1 page. It's a new record for all pastors and preachers for all time. You can stop the sermon now and talk about it with your community group if you'd like. But if you would be interested in knowing how I got to that conclusion, then buckle up. Okay, so I think John Piper has done a really good job talking about this. And in his book, Desiring God, which is a pretty hefty book, but worth a read. He says this: the overriding concern of this book is that in all of life, God be glorified the way he himself has appointed. To that end, this book aims to persuade you that the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Our main role is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. So the question must be, how do we enjoy God? Surely it must include following his instructions for us and practicing them, which is essentially spiritual formation. I'll always love my children, no matter what, but there are times when I enjoy them more, typically when they're listening to me, typically when they do as I say. And as a result, if I am a decent father, then hopefully that will mean that my children are growing in maturity if they're listening to my instructions. And I think that there's a connection here in terms of our relationship with God. God will always love us, and he desires that we enjoy him and grow. And growth happens in spiritual formation. Hopefully, as we look at this passage, we'll see how it's calling us to that growth and that formation as well. So everyone wants to know how to live a meaningful life. Everyone's kind of searching for that. And in a sense, they're really searching for truth, which will hopefully result in that meaningful life. We all seek fulfillment in some way. And so 1 Timothy 6:17-19, if you want to be flipping, you can. It's good to, if you want to stay in Colossians, we're going to go back to the passage a number of times. But 1 Timothy 6:17-19, it's one of my favorite passages, and especially when we're talking about this. So it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So take note of that last verse, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. There's a way we can find what is truly life, and that entails following Christ. It entails the qualities listed in the passage that we've read today from Colossians. Being a follower of Jesus is so much more than just following commands and rules. Look at what Jesus says in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I love that word, abundantly. Wouldn't it be nice to say, man, my life is just so abundant. I have an abundant life. So how do we go about that? If the previous verses that Doug looked at showed how to live a life with no joy and no abundance, then these verses surely show us how to get in the right direction towards that truly life, that abundant life. You'll need to work on having a compassionate heart, being kind, humble, meek, patient, forgiving, thankful, and above all else, showing love to others. What if this was the signpost for like our church, Gospel Chapel? Like this was the passage that we are going to live by. If we all agreed that together we're going to do everything we can to adhere to this passage, I think we would see a really transformed, growing, and vibrant church. Not like it's not those things already, but I think we could continue to be growing in that too. And I think it'd be good for each of us to evaluate this in their own lives, in our own lives. The passage tells us to put on these virtues, and putting on is repentance from our sins and the vices listed in the previous verses. Putting on is taking stock and owning up to our shortcomings. It's pretty clear that there would be a lot of actions and thoughts in my own life that do not line up with what's listed in this passage. More times than I'd like to admit, I have been the opposite of these things. How radically would my life change if I committed to practicing this list? And before I react, I put it through this grid from this passage. How would things be different for me? I know that I could certainly use more patience in my life. I certainly could complain less and be thankful more. I know I could show more kindness, especially toward those who disagree with me. You'll recognize that this list echoes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You may also notice that the passage that Pastor Doug looked at a couple weeks ago had five vices. So the sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. And that our passage today has five virtues that would actually help combat those five vices. The reason why this list is so important is because these are actually the characteristics of Jesus himself. One way we can see the work of Christ in our own lives is seeing these virtues played out in the day-to-day. And again, I talked about this in May, and I probably come back to it, but I'm just passionate about it. We've got to realize that there's more to our spiritual growth or our lives with Jesus than what happens on a church service or a Sunday morning when we're gathering, or even now on these online gatherings and so forth, that there's more, and that's what happens in the day-to-day. So I'm going to quote from Eugene Peterson again. He puts it this way: the man in Christ and the man not in Christ looked exactly the same. A cardiograph will not discern any Christian difference in their heartbeats. An IQ test cannot separate Christian from non-Christian brains. Our life truly is hidden with Christ in God. So what are the garments that suit God's chosen people? Paul suggests compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are the words, acts, attitudes that reveal Christ in us. Isn't that interesting? I talked about this in my sermon in May, but when I see people who I want to be like, or mentors that I've had over my life, they almost always have an outpouring of these characteristics. If I looked at this list, they would match up. And I've known other believers, other Christians who don't seem to have any of these virtues playing out in any way, especially in the day-to-day. And I just wonder what went wrong. You know, people outside of the church are going to notice these things. And ultimately, hopefully, they're going to notice Christ in us. It's going to point them towards Jesus. We live a full life by enjoying God. And we enjoy God by following his instructions for our lives. We also learn how to enjoy life and the gifts God has given us. Have you ever realized that God has created things for us simply to enjoy? Like sometimes I wonder if we get so nervous or worried or stressed about just having a good time, that somehow pleasure is a bad thing. As Christians, we should be professionals at joy because we know how and where to find it. The unprofessional finds pleasure and joy that never lasts and actually could be harmful. The Christian knows that the delight in the Lord and the gifts he has given can be enjoyed and be celebrated. So as I said before, people are always looking for pleasure. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. But so many things in the world result in disappointment. People might think that true happiness will be found by sleeping around with as many people as they can. But true joy comes from that commitment to that one person for life. People might think true happiness comes from buying things and acquiring stuff and having all those things. But we know that stuff never lasts. God wants us to enjoy life and has created things that bring us lasting joy when we remember that in all things we look to bring glory back to him. When I enjoy the things I have, knowing that I'm giving glory to God for those gifts. For example, I take great joy and delight in my children, knowing full well that they are gifts from God entrusted to me. And that's part of those prayers I have for my children daily. I try to acknowledge that they're not really mine, that God has given me a tremendous role and responsibility as a father to them, that he's entrusting them to me. But in turn, I really want to be entrusting them to the Lord and having the, open hands with them, much like other things in my life too. So the question you should ask yourself is, are you going to live life your way or God's way? And I personally fluctuate between that. Enjoying food or relationships or money or whatever my way, or am I going to enjoy those things the way that God intended them to be enjoyed? Ultimately, who knows better, me or the Lord, for my own life? So the passage also makes clear that we are to take part in a church body, that compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness is taking place actively within the church, not in isolation. So look at verse 15 in our passage today. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. The peace of Christ that rules our hearts takes place within the church, not as individuals. And by the way, the church body can continue even without the church building. And I think that's something that we're really wrestling through. I mean, I know I am. My hope would be that you're taking part in these online services with community and not just doing them alone. Starting the month of May, I started doing CrossFit, and it was all online. And I noticed that there's options to do them live on my computer with a group of people and do these exercises together. But if you missed it, you can just watch a recording or look at the exercise, the workout, and do it on your own. I noticed almost right away that the times that I tried to just do it on my own was never as good as when I can actually get together in a group, even over my computer screen with people live. It was always more beneficial to my growth physically and just doing the exercise in person in that way. Yeah, we're made for relationship with one another and relationship with God. We're not made for relationship with ourselves, just alone. A couple of weeks ago, I got to take one of my last courses for my master's degree. And of course, it was all online. We couldn't meet in Kelowna, especially since a lot of us are spread across Canada. We all kind of meet in Kelowna for the week. But this course was just over Zoom online. But we had some guest speakers, and one of them had a great observation. I thought this was great. He noticed that there's a lot of things in our lives that actually direct us more to ourselves, more inward, instead of directing us more outward to one another and relationship with God, which we're created to be. So the primary one he brought up was smartphones. And he says, smartphones draws more to ourselves and more inward when we're posting pictures of ourselves, when we're spending time alone, typically on a smartphone. You can't really do that in community all that much. But it actually prohibits community with others and with God. So something that I had to kind of wrestle with and consider and just see how that's affecting my relationship with other people and how it affects relationship with the Lord. Did you notice that in this passage, it's actually impossible to put on these things alone? Like, I guess you could be kind to yourself, but there's a lot of things within that passage that it's actually requiring us to be practicing these things with other people. Community is a requirement to growth. So let's unpack that a little bit further. Healthy community is when I'm surrounded by people who will challenge me, encourage me, and keep me accountable. If I want to grow spiritually and be more like Christ, which I do, then my desire is to have people who will push back on me, to call me out when I'm being stupid, which happens too often, and to clarify, pushing back on me and calling me out on things should be done from a heart and a desire from other people that want to see me grow. A relationship with Jesus cannot be done alone. We need others. And this is why church is so crucial. And it's why we never should cease meeting together in some form. And certainly right now, with another family or with other people, when you can. So I've experienced this gift in my life so many times, and I know how important it is for me. I have some very deep and loving friendships that are worth more than all the money in the world. And it's why, it's because of them that I know that friendship is so important, why relationship is so important. I know that these friends will call me out if they see my marriage slipping. They'll call me out if they see that I'm cutting corners, maybe at work or in my life. If they see that I'm being dishonest or hot-headed, or if I'm wavering in my relationship with Jesus. And I need those friends in my life to help me grow. I absolutely need them. So here's the problem. If you view church as a consumer, you will never grow. So I'm talking pre-global pandemic and present day. If you just show up to consume and leave, you won't be growing in your relationship with God. If you just watch the sermons online and then move on to your Netflix show or whatever's next, you won't be drawn any closer to Christ. I almost guarantee it. In fact, what ends up happening is actually the opposite. You start going in the wrong direction, because what happens is you can start becoming a complainer. Your lens is consumer. Therefore, everything you see should meet your needs. And since you can contact the pastors and the elders, you make sure they know all the things that you're unhappy about. And guess what that starts to look like? The love of self, not the love of others and the love of God. If I see church as something that is there for my own good, to help me grow, to cause some iron against iron friction, as the Bible talks about, then I am no longer so concerned with the style or the format of church. Whether I meet in a building, a house, a field, whether we sing hymns, contemporary, whether the preacher uses King James or ESV, it doesn't matter. So long as I am worshiping God, learning from his word, and I have brothers and sisters helping me grow and keeping me accountable, I really don't care about the format or even the location. So the antidote to this is also found within the passage. So starting at verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what word comes up three times in these verses? If you look through those since verse 15, what word comes up three times? It's the word thankful. Thankfulness results in joy in the Lord. The man whose house I bought a number of years ago, before he moved away, we had some visits together, and he told me that he grew up sleeping in a potato sack in the woods with his uncle because Nazis killed his parents. Imagine how thankful he was each night when he went to bed in his house. There is no doubt that we're living in some difficult times, and yet there is still so much to be thankful for. Never, ever, never forget how good God has been to you. So what are we grateful for? Friends, money, our vehicles, food, family, church. It's good to remember to be grateful for these things. But even more, I think it's important for us to remember how grateful we should be and how amazing it is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think we pass over this too quickly. Even if everything was taken from us, like everything was taken from us, my family, my home, all my money that I have, all my money, the church building, you know, I would still have Jesus. You can't take him from me. I would still have the promises that he will never leave me, that he's always for me, that he walks with me, that he's my comfort, that he's my leader. Maybe it would be helpful for us to start actually making a list, like literally, actually do this, but start making a list of everything that you're thankful for and praise God for that, and keep adding to the list, maybe daily. Just keep adding things that come to your mind. And I think that would help. I think that would help us put things into perspective. You know, if Henry Clausen were here right now, he would remind us of the song, the hymn, you know, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Just make sure that Jesus is at the top of that list. And in fact, he owns that whole list. Everything I've talked about thus far points back to that spiritual formation, that growth that should be taking place in our lives. And it will result in the deepening of our relationship with Christ, which in turn results in a life marked by joy, results in a life lived to the full, the abundant life, truly life. So what are some ways that we can grow spiritually as we kind of wrap up here? One of my professors from Briarcrest says, at best, Christians are mature beginners. I like that. When it comes to spiritual formation, we are mature beginners. Until Jesus returns, we are all just beginners in this journey. Spiritual growth isn't like learning to ride a bike, because God never lets go of the bike. Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in sufferings. Wow. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If we want to grow, Romans 5 calls us to rejoice in suffering because it produces endurance and endurance character. Again, we come back to being thankful and grateful even in suffering. Have you ever thought to actually embrace suffering? Colossians tells us to bind everything with love. We are made to love one another, to love God, which brings ultimate joy, not the love of self. The love of self stunts our growth. So remember that God loves you and will give anything to have a relationship with you, even his own son. God has you. God is for you. Isaiah 49:16 says, behold, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. Devote time to be a listener. We don't listen very well. I started getting up at 5 in the morning for these CrossFit exercises And I've noticed how quiet it is at 5 a.m. And I don't mean just in my house, but as soon as I even just get outside the door, it's just so quiet. And it reminded me that I should be listening for God's voice. Make sure that you have someone that's discipling you and that you are discipling someone else. I think this really can help in our spiritual formation and growth. Be present in the mundane. I got these stats from the Youth Alpha video series. They say if you live to be 70 years old, you would spend 20 years, 3 months asleep. 10 years, 5 months watching TV. It's probably more than that actually now. 7 years, 6 months eating and drinking. 5 years, 9 months in some form of transportation. 18 months waiting in line. Yikes. And 6 months waiting at red lights. Well, some of us, 6 months waiting at red lights. Some of you just keep on going. I think we can so easily forget how amazing it is that God tells us or tells the sun to rise every day or tells the clouds where they need to go or the trees to grow. That God is working through his amazing creation all around us, and I think we're missing it. I want more whimsy. I want more wonder in my life, noticing what God is doing around me. So you're going to spend a lot of time, as the stats I've just read, if they're anywhere accurate, you're going to spend a lot of time in the mundane. Be ready to learn and hear from God in those moments. Instead of looking at your phone to fill gaps of time while you're waiting for things or whatever, perhaps pay attention to what God has for you. Take stock of the things that must die in your life, as Doug highlighted a couple weeks ago. In order for us to take hold of what the Bible calls truly life or the abundant life, we must enjoy God by bringing glory to him in all we do. So practice these verses and draw near to him. N.T. Wright, in his commentary on Colossians, on these verses, says, Christian living is grateful worship, which is to affect whatever we do. Since all things have been created through Christ and also in principle redeemed through him, Christians can do all they do, whether manual work, political activity, raising a family, writing a book, playing tennis, or whatever, in his name and with gratitude. Jesus, the true divine and human image of God, the one whose cross secured our reconciliation, is the reason for our gratitude and the one through whom we can now offer that gratitude to the Father himself. So as I said, our hope is that you are in groups right now or with some friends, or that you can be in communication with some people. So with that being said, I want to end with just a few discussion questions for your groups as we wrap up here. So number one, which of the five virtues do you struggle with the most? Compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Which one of those do you struggle with the most and why? What's something you can do to help strengthen that in your life? Number two, do you have someone discipling you right now, mentoring you, and are you discipling someone else? If not, think of a name or two this week and make it happen. Start the process. Number three, how is your spiritual formation journey going? Share that with your group. What are some things that you're doing daily, weekly, monthly? Are there some spiritual disciplines that you can practice this week? And so have your community group keep you accountable for those things this week. Our joy and true life can be found in Christ. We are called to be people who have compassionate hearts, who practice kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, even in, and maybe especially, difficult times. We are called to be thankful and to actually embrace suffering. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.